Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning on this Independence Day weekend, Sunday morning. Today is Sunday, July 3rd. The year is 2016. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and this segment of my show is called Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. My topic today is cutting the cost of a funeral. So like I said, this is an Independence Day weekend, Sunday morning. Tomorrow is July 4th, which is a holiday in the United States of America, and everyone will be celebrating. Some folks will have the day off, so they will be doing the usual, having cookouts, barbecues, and family reunions. Others will have a family day at an amusement park, yet others can't wait to use the fireworks they possess to give a show or visit a local fireworks show. The Gucci family Macy's fireworks show is really popular in New York City. And like I said, please note you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and my internet radio segment today is called Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. My topic today is cutting the cost of a funeral in America, if that is at all possible. Have to laugh at that one. I chose this topic because of an article I read about funerals in a Costco consumer monthly magazine. You know, Costco is one of the big warehouse stores, and they also have an online store. At their online store, they actually sell caskets and urns, okay? Like I said, that particular article, the article I read, is my inspiration for what you're about to hear. At this time, let me give you a disclaimer. I am not a coroner, embalmer, or funeral director. I have no training in that area. I have only handled a funeral one time in my life. I did that along with my husband Donald for his mother Roberta during the 1990s. And then, oh, wait a minute, I basically handled another funeral in 2011 for my Aunt Sinise, okay? She had a prepaid funeral arrangement. It covered everything except the opening of her crypt, for which I paid a charge of $1,000. She had a really good deal in a really great funeral home here in Chesapeake, Virginia. I was reimbursed for the $1,000 out of her estate. And the reason I had to pay it is because funeral homes and funeral services, they do not accept checks from the deceased, accounts belonging to the deceased, and that's another whole show in itself. I know for sure that my husband Donald wants to be cremated. We have both made arrangements with Albert Horton Military Cemetery out in Suffolk, Virginia. My husband is a veteran, so that'll really work out for us. I won't know the true details and cost until one of us dies. If I die first, I will never know, okay? But I do know he wants to be cremated, and I want to be in a casket. So let me say, the research I did for this show was overwhelming. I mean, this is some daunting information if you don't know anything about it, which I don't, which I didn't. Overwhelming is a word that applies when a loved one dies suddenly and family members have no idea what to do. When family members don't know what comes next or how they will pay for what comes next, it's a challenge. So dealing with the death of a loved one can be both emotionally and financially overwhelming. While most people in the funeral business are honest, unfortunately, there are those who try to take advantage of a personally vulnerable situation by overcharging for something as essential as a funeral. What I want my audience to do is to get informed now to protect yourself later. There are tips to using discounts available for goods and services related to a funeral and or the death of a loved one. There are organizations such as funerals.org that can assist you with preparing for the inevitable. You know, so based upon past observation, when someone dies at home or in a hospital, a coroner is called to pronounce the person dead, and in most cases to determine the cause of death. The cause of death is usually written on the death certificate. It may be true or untrue, but you may find it there. At this point, the body has been identified by a family member, and family members may have been notified of the deceased's condition. In steps the funeral home director, okay, after the coroner is called, usually a funeral home director is called to pick up the body. The average family cannot handle its own funeral service, so chances are they will contact a funeral home with which they are familiar, or a funeral home close by, or in the best of cases, a funeral home that they already have a relationship with. So when they visit the funeral home, they will arrive with various documents, such as life insurance papers for the deceased or prepaid funeral documents for the deceased, okay? The funeral home personnel are trained to be compassionate and empathetic. And this is my opinion, and it's probably widely known as well. They are trained to be compassionate and empathetic while guiding the family through the maze known as funeral arrangements. Okay? It is a maze because the family is in pain due to the loss of a loved one, and usually they cannot see a lot of emotions involved. Some unscrupulous funeral home personnel recognize this vulnerability, like I mentioned earlier, and they will go in for the kill. Most will not. However, they all have certain procedures they will follow to assist the family with handling the deceased in a manner that fits the survivor's taste, beliefs, and budget. And speaking of budget, according to the National Funeral Directors Organization, the average cost of a funeral today is about $6,000 or more. Okay? A cremation should not cost this much, but it can cost this much and more if funeral homes offer extras that hike up the cost of something as basic as a cremation. And like I said, if you're a veteran, make sure you check out the local military cemeteries for their services and benefits in relation to the deceased, to the death of a veteran. Because the family can save a lot of money. You definitely need the person's DD-214. If the veteran has been married, you need the marriage certificate, and you may even need the birth certificates of the vet and his spouse. Because I believe with these military cemeteries, the spouse is covered as well, but at a charge. So if it's a female vet, in order to bury the female vet's spouse, there may be a small charge, but it will be nowhere near $6,000. That's just my opinion. So now you arrive at the funeral home, and in my opinion, first they will ask to see the value of the life insurance policy unless there has been a pre-planned or pre-arranged funeral system already in place. Some funeral homes will ask the family to turn the life insurance policy over to them. Then they may help the family design a funeral that will allocate all of the funds or a good portion of the funds in the policy to them. I mean, if the average funeral is $6,000 and the insurance policy is $25,000, naturally the family is not going to give the funeral home $25,000 for the funeral. Okay, so you got to watch out. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't turn over that type of policy to the insurance company, to the funeral home. So funeral homes, they will also put in for the $250 Social Security payment for the family and use that towards the funeral as well. A lot of people, you know, talk about the $25 Social Security payment, but years ago, a lot of deceased members of family, a lot of our ancestors, they could only afford something like a $500 insurance policy. So, and they would pay a lifetime for that. They would pay for their entire lives, whether it cost a quarter a week, whether it cost $2 a month, but they would pay an entire lifetime from age 30 to 70 for a $500 insurance policy. And, of course, nowadays a $500 insurance policy won't cover the funeral. So in some cases, people start asking for money from other family members or taking a pool of cash in order to bury a family member. And in this case, I would say when it comes to children, a lot of families may not have anything in place to bury a child or a teenager. Why? Because that's such an unexpected death. But death is coming, whether it's unexpected or not, and it's something that we have to become educated about and try to understand the best way we can. So at any rate, I suggest the family review charges from a funeral home with their attorney. Okay, if go to a local funeral home now, find out what kind of charges they charge, what the charges are for, become educated about the cost of a funeral, become educated about the cost of cremation and a burial, and use services, like I said, that are available, such as military cemeteries in the case of the death of a veteran. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall. So now, let's go into the meat of this show. According to the FuneralConsumersAlliance.org, there is a four-step planning process involved in handling a funeral. Okay. So now let me see what I have here for that four-step process. The first is, number one, start your planning at home. What they're saying is planning for a funeral is just like planning for a wedding, or planning for a baby, buying a home, buying a car. In any of those situations, we're consumers, and even in the case of a funeral, we become consumers. And families need to talk about funeral planning and the cost involved. Avoiding the topic won't stave it off, but it will make it more difficult and likely more expensive. And that's the truth. People tend to avoid the topic of planning for a funeral. I mean, they want to go into it blindly, and if it works for them, no problem. But I suggest that you don't go into it blindly. So unless you really want to pay out of pocket for services that may be not be applicable and may not even be affordable. You might end up going into a deep debt for a funeral. So step number one is planning ahead. Planning ahead can make a painful time easier to bear, and many find great meaning and peace carrying out thoughtful funeral plans that honor their family members' wishes. And that's another thing is to, if you start planning, you may know what the family members' wishes are, and you may know where documents are, such as prepaid funeral arrangements or insurance policies and things like that. There are as many ways to honor the dead as there are cultures, religions, and budgets. Now, that means that's a whole lot of ways. Your personal philosophy or faith should guide your choices, but no religion or philosophy dictates how much money should be spent on a funeral, and no belief system encourages burdensome spending. So, you know, don't get yourself into the debt almost like you would to buy a house for a funeral. But, I mean, it's up to you. It's your money. Families can choose simple arrangements such as a cremation with no ceremony or more elaborate ones such as a long wake before a funeral. You can choose no coffin at all. I don't recommend that. Or choose a handcrafted hardwood casket. I heard that the hardwood isn't that good because termites can eat that. You can keep the body at home for visitation. They used to do that in the old days. Or you can hold a viewing at a funeral home. Yeah, I remember in the old days, the person's body would just be sitting up there in the living room for people to come by and view. Whatever you choose, be sure it's based on what's meaningful to you, not on what you think other people will expect you to do. No amount of money, great or small, can express how we feel about those who have died. Now, this information, like I said, is coming from the funeralconsumersalliance.org, and I'm just repeating some of it. Taking an active role in funeral arrangements, whether that means carrying out the whole process without a funeral home or just preparing and delivering the eulogy, is more meaningful than the money we spend. So doing it in a tasteful manner and trying to avoid a lot of chaos seems to be the point here, okay? And using your own religion or culture or budget as a guide, okay? So that was step number one. Step number two is explore your options. This is coming from the Funeral Consumers Alliance. They're suggesting a four-step plan. Step number two is explore your options. Many people become confused about what they can and cannot do. While many assume a traditional funeral, embalming, fancy casket, open casket wake, funeral ceremony, procession, and gravesite service is normal, this type of funeral is actually a relatively recent commercial invention that is rarely practiced outside the United States and Canada. Now, that was new. I didn't know that. This type of funeral has no roots in Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or any other religion. You have the right to care for your dead in almost any way that is meaningful to you, and you better check out your state laws. I'm just saying as a sideline, side piece. Being able to answer these questions would help you decide what you want and prepare you for talking with the funeral director. Do you want cremation or burial? What did the deceased want? Do you want embalming? Do you want viewing? Do you want the body present at the funeral? I mean, I heard about a funeral recently where the body was not present at the funeral. A memorial service held after the body is buried or cremated. Do you want that? And people actually meet at the home of the deceased or a family member of the deceased after a funeral. If you want the body embalmed and don't want to keep the body at home for viewing, you may use a funeral home. Now, embalming, let me give you a definition of that. That is, embalming is a way, from what I can understand, of preserving the body. They preserve the body in a refrigerator for a while, And then the funeral home embalms the body by using a type of chemical that runs through the veins of the person who's deceased. But like I said, I'm not a pro at this, so this is just information. Okay. So if you want a funeral service with the body present, you don't want to hold it, and you don't want to hold it in a funeral home, you can consider a religious institution such as a church, or you can have a graveside service. If you have no affiliation, you can call up someone and become affiliated with them in order to have the service in their venue. What they charge for use of their generally religiously neutral services is up to them, I'm sure. So if you prefer a memorial service after the burial or cremation has taken place, there is no need to hold the funeral at home. Have it at a religious institution, a home, a park, a club, a hotel, or a community center, something like that. Some people hold a memorial service in a funeral home, in a nursing home, if that's where the person had lived for many years of their life, if the person lived in a nursing home, a memorial service can be held somewhere familiar, like the nursing home, and where other people remember the person who is deceased. If you choose cremation or whatever, or some other place, or you have at least 48 hours before refrigeration is required. Now, that's some type of law. I don't know all those details about keeping the body around 48 hours without before refrigeration is required. When you are ready, the funeral director will pick up the body, arrange for the cremation or the service, and say in the case of cremation, and then return the remains to you. In relation to cremation, I suggest you check out your state's Cremation Society. Go to the website, cremationsociety.org, for your state. Here in the state of Virginia, they're saying, the Cremation Society is saying that a cremation can start at $895. Now, I joined them years ago, mainly for my husband, and what they're saying is they recommend a funeral home that will provide a cremation for you at a reasonable cost. So you can just have the body cremated and get the ashes in the urn without a whole big service or using the funeral home and all that. Like I said, I don't know all the details, but look into it. If someone has been cared for at home, it can be best to keep that person at home until burial or cremation. In some states, an individual, family, community, or religious group can handle a death without hiring a funeral director. I don't know anything about that, though. I think you better hire a funeral director or somebody to help you out. Some families can do everything on their own, or just hire a home funeral consultant. That's something new, or a death midwife or funeral director to assist. There are people who are death consultants out here, so that's something new. Depending on the state, the family can then bring the body to the crematory or cemetery themselves, or hire a funeral director just to provide transportation and permits. So remember, it may be a permit involved and having someone cremated. The people who are doing this must have permits. So step number three, according to the Funeral Consumers Alliance, is to shop around. Most people pick the funeral home closest to them or one they have used in the past. Neither of these criteria tell you whether you're getting a good service. I mean, they could have been unhappy in the past, but they're accustomed to this one particular funeral home. The family is accustomed to this one particular funeral home, so they'll use that. I mean, in New York, we used to use Jackson Funeral Home, and I don't recall being unhappy, but I never paid for a service there. I do know that my mom was funeral was handled by Jackson Funeral Home in Harlem. They have a little... They had a location in Harlem and a location in the Bronx. Prices can vary enormously between funeral homes, even just blocks away. So, you know, in any community you'll find several different funeral homes, but you better do a price check. Okay, you can't just go to the one close by or the one you have used in the past without doing a price check. Now, there's something known as the GPL. It's something that funeral homes are familiar with, and it's known as the GPL. If you plan to arrange a funeral, you better become familiar with the GPL, which is the general price list. This is the general price list. A funeral home should offer you a general price list in relation to all the services that they offer so that you can choose whether or not you want this, that, funerals, flowers, someone who's going to sing, pay for a pastor to arrive, and pastor over the service. Like I said, the GPL price list, and if there are prices for people who are outsiders, I believe what they do is they let you know that this person is not employed by the funeral home. However, they commission this person, and the person's charge is so much money per hour, like an organist or something like that. So become familiar with what is known as the general price list. Ask the funeral home, can you see their general price list, okay? Okay, so that was step number three, is to shop around. Step number four is to try putting it all together. It won't be easy. You may need a day or two. While the body sits at the funeral home, you may need a day or two to get it all together. I can tell you this. When my aunt Sinise passed away, I handled her entire funeral in 2 days. She passed on a Monday, and on a Wednesday, she was already in her crypt. Why? It had been prepaid. I ran around and did everything that I had to do, and it was a done deal, funeral and all, at the funeral home. I mean, that worked out. Okay, so try putting it all together. You know, gather your senses if you can, and go past your emotions, because past your emotions. That's just my opinion. Once you've decided what you want, talk to your likely survivors and other family members about your wishes and about what they believe the wishes are. Don't let the plans go awry. If death occurs away from home, that's a situation. They'll need the skills and knowledge to get the body to where they want the body to be. Some families have their own family plot. Someone may die in Chicago but be brought all the way to South Carolina. The body may be transported all the way to a state like South Carolina or Texas or some Ohio or somewhere like that, because that's where the family plot is. Wow, I've already. So anyway, there are basic service charges for funeral homes. Become familiar with those. I might need two parts to this series. Also, pre-planned, prepaid insurance and things like that. When you go to a funeral home, before they show you their general price list, they may show you package deals, remember. And then they have that so it looks easier for you to just pick a package. Maybe there are only four things involved in the package, the coffin, the service, the transportation, the embalming. I mean, I don't think it would be a package with only four things in it. Maybe a package with six things or 12 or 16 things. And sometimes those are the packages that are involved in a prepaid funeral service. So get your price lists over the phone, itemize price lists, compare charges, get a detailed statement, something you can show to your attorney. Okay, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I feel like I was all over the place today. I'm Laura Gall. The name of my show is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Bootcamp. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.